Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Glass, and I praise the Lord that you were able to join me today. On yesterday's broadcast, I was sharing some principles and some truths from some Old Testament feasts that the children of Israel observed, the Feast of the Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and I'm just going to continue on. In Exodus, the 24th chapter, verse 15, God states, "Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread." And for those of you who perhaps didn't listen yesterday, you know that the Passover feast represented the sacrificing of a lamb without blemish, signifying and typifying the Lord Jesus Christ, that He was the perfect, spotless Lamb of God, ordained before the foundation of the world for the sins of mankind. And He was sacrificed for our sins, and as a symbol of typifying the Lord's sacrifice, this Passover lamb was to be sacrificed and eaten. All of it was to be eaten. Anything left over was to be burned in the morning with fire. But along with that, they were to the following week, they instituted the Feast of an Unleavened Bread, that for 7 days they could eat no bread with leaven in it, indicating sin in their lives, that they were to purge out that old leaven, and that bread also, that unleavened bread, signifying the Word of God, that we are washed by, or cleansed by the washing of the Word, if you will, that living bread that gives life to us. And of course, you can't separate Jesus from His Word. He is the Word of life. He is the Word of truth. He is the living bread. So, beloved, when we take the whole Word of God, that which is holy, pure, and undefiled, and we appropriate all the promises of God and all the benefits God has provided for us, His children, then we will see God move in our behalf, and we shall be conquerors, even more than conquerors, through the Lord Jesus Christ. So much of our walk in God depends on our increased revelation and understanding. Some of these verses you may have read time and time again, but there's new understanding, new revelation. We never will come into a place that we've received everything and have a fullness of revelation, at least in this life, of what God has done for us. But God commanded them to keep this feast. God said to Moses concerning His promises regarding the conquest of the land in Exodus, the 23rd chapter, verses 20 through 23. He said, "Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way, and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared." Verse 21 says, "Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries." In the 15th chapter of Exodus, Moses and the children of Israel sang a song. I won't read all of it, but it's a song of the redeemed. "I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. Thou, in thy mercy, hath led forth the people whom thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever." In the book of Joshua, the 23rd chapter, verse 10, the word states, "One man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God, he it is who fighteth for you, as he has promised you." Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves, that ye love the Lord your God. Amen. The first and greatest commandment. And in Psalm 34, 7 and 8, David said, "The angel of the Lord encampeth around about those who fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusteth in him." Through the prophet Zephaniah, in the third chapter, God said to Israel that he would undo all that afflicted them, and that he would save her that is lame, and gather her that was driven out. Beloved, as God's children, we're spiritual Israel, if we will. God has made of the Jews and of the Gentiles one new man, and we are a spiritual part of that promise. God is bringing out his people just as surely as he did the people of Israel, and he's bringing us into our promised land, where we will be able to inherit the goodness, the fruitfulness of that land, where we will have spiritual power, where we will be able to defeat the giants, we'll be able to uproot them in the name of the Lord. We will be able to stand still and see the salvation of our God, for the battle is not ours, but it is the Lord's. It's part of his divine plan, and if we line up with his purposes, if we obey and heed his commands, then we are assured of victory, because he is the captain of the host. He is our commander in chief, and we are part of an army that will not know defeat. Hallelujah. God is bringing out his people, and we're seeing the Son of Righteousness rise with healing in his wings in the darkness of defeat and sorrow. You might feel that in your life right now, that you're, you know, sitting in the midst of darkness. But just as the prophet said, "Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me." Hallelujah. Praise God. In the 26th chapter of Leviticus, God declared that his people were to have no idols, that nothing should stand in their thoughts, in their hearts, their minds before the Lord. He must have preeminence, and that's true of us today. Now, we don't have idols of gold or silver that we bow down to. Of course, we're much more sophisticated. We make non-material things our idols. Other things that preempt our service of God, other things that take our deepest affections. And God wants to be Lord of all, or not Lord, not, he won't be Lord at all. Amen. You probably heard that. The conditions of God's blessings for his people were then and still are relevant for us today. To walk in his statutes, to keep his commandments. We do, to be sure, have a new covenant built on better promises, and we're to keep and believe and appropriate all those provisions that are contained in the new covenant. And God said, if you'll listen to me and keep my words, what did he say to the people of Israel? You shall chase your enemies. Well, we can, that's our promise too. God said that 5 would chase 100, and 100 would put 10,000 to flight. In verse 9, he said he would have respect unto you, he would make you fruitful and multiply you, and establish his covenant with you. God said, I will walk among you, and will be your God, and you shall be my people. Praise God. Also, we see there's another offering I'd like to share with you, found in Leviticus, the first chapter, verse 1 to 9, and that was the burnt offering. This offering had to be without blemish, not only in the sight of man, but in the sight of God. Christ, as God's beloved Lamb, was without blemish and without spot. This offering had to be brought to the door. It had to be laid in order upon the altar, and the offering was to be voluntary. Let me just read this scripture for you. And the Lord called unto Moses, spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, If any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make make atonement for him. And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord, and the priests, Aaron's sons, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into his pieces. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall put fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order upon the fire. And the priests, Aaron's sons, shall lay the parts, the head, the fat, in order upon the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar. And in verse 9, but the inwards and his legs shall he wash in water, and the priest shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. So that offering was to be voluntary. We saw in verse 4 that the one making the offering had to put his hand on the hand of the burnt offering, and this represented a personal identification with the burnt offering. When the person brought the offering, the one who offered the burnt offering was accepted in that offering. And the people were to stand by with as the priests offered this. And just like the one offering the burnt offering, today he wants his people to offer ourselves willingly. He wants us to be identified with our offering. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, is that not true, for your offering? And as you do that, your offering will be a memorial before him in his sight. And we see that that burnt offering that was totally consumed was also symbolic of Jesus Christ and his offering of himself in behalf of the sins of the world. Praise God. So we see from these Old Testament sacrifices that a beautiful parallel, beautiful symbolism in of the Lord Jesus Christ, of our relationship with him, of that the significance and meaning of what Jesus Christ did once and for all for every man. Praise God. And we, as we walk with the Lord, we are continuing to purge out the old leaven of malice and wickedness. If we fall short, we have an advocate with the Father who's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Praise God. Thank the Lord for the truth and the beauty of his word. Well, my time is rapidly slipping away from me, and in a few moments, the announcer is going to give you our mailing address. I invite you to write, share your prayer requests. Also, I want to thank UCM Partners for your prayer support, your financial help. Without you, we could not remain on this station. God bless you. It's a joy to receive your letters, to know I continue to uphold you in prayer. Thank you so much for all that you do. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You have been listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at either P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop her an email. Again, our address is P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, and that web address is unveiledchrist.org. And as you write, remember your prayers and tax-deductible offerings of support enable us to keep this broadcast ministry on the air. Thank you for joining us. God bless.